We like to pride ourselves on our ability to multitask. But when we do that behind the wheel, it turns into a really bad situation. There's been a crackdown on distracted driving in Minnesota recently. And Dr. Edward Downs likes to have his students play a little video game, do a little video game experiment to find out just how well they do at multitasking. Question number one, what's the difference between multitasking and managing distractions?
Well, there's on different levels, there's not much difference between either one of them. Multitasking, conceptually, we can think of as trying to successfully complete more than one task at the same time. And then managing those distractions probably would be a form of multitasking that we call sequential multitasking, being able to take things in bite-sized sequences, but attending to one of them at a time.
Right. And that, of course, is part of the secret. Now, unfortunately, we can't do the video game thing here.
Right.
Darn it. Every so often, I really wish we were television, and this is one of those times.
Exactly.
But talk about your little video game experiment test that you do with your students.
Sure, yeah. We put together a high-resolution, low-fidelity driving simulator using a PlayStation 3 and a copy of Gran Turismo Prologue. And we got the steering wheel and the pedals all set up, and we sit people down and we have them drive the car on different tracks that we've created. And then we send them text messages on their cell phone. And the idea is for them to see whether or not they can successfully multitask in this safe environment. And what we find is that people, they realize it's not a true-to-life, real, authentic driving experience, like it's behind the wheel of a car.
Right, which is kind of the point.
Which is the point, right. It's a safe environment for them to fail in.
Right.
And that they're usually pretty shocked. Pretty surprised that they don't do as well as they think they're going to do, especially the people who play video games. They think they're going to go in, they're going to do really well, and then we ask them to pull out their cell phone and respond to our text messages, and they're all over the road. They can't keep the car in the lane, they crash the car, they can't keep a consistent speed limit. And so it scaffolds that process closely enough that they see the parallels. And they see the dangers, what would happen if they were behind the wheel of a car. And for a lot of them, it's an eye-opener.
I am so fascinated with any kinds of studies and investigations into the use of technology between generations.
Sure.
Because my generation is a generation that, we were in our 30s, 40s when suddenly the internet showed up and the cell phone showed up and, maybe 50s where some of these things showed up. And so on the one hand, some of us are old school and, don't mess with it and whatever. And then others of us are so overcome with the coolness of the technology.
Right.
That we're like really like, wow, this is, and we have a hard time sometimes setting it aside. And I'm wondering, do students do better being a relative term,
right,
than somebody like I would?
There's individual differences across generations. Some people are quote unquote better than others. That doesn't mean that they're safer. It doesn't mean that they're not distracted. It just means that some people are naturally better than others. We don't tend to see huge generational differences when it comes to complex tasks.
Right. Or taxes, for that matter.
Yeah, right.
And that's another conversation, distracted taxing. We'll talk about that differently.
April 15th is long ago.
Thank heavens.
I think the primary difference that we see, we brought our texting and driving simulators to the state fair this past year. And we were able to collect data from everybody from 16 to 79 years old.
Wow, okay.
So it was a great range of people. And the primary difference that we saw was right around that 40 to 45-year-old mark. People who were younger than kind of that 40s.
Sure.
Thought that they were going to do a lot better than they did. So they would go into the simulator thinking, oh, I'm going to ace this.
Sure.
The people that were kind of over that age,
right,
they knew they weren't going to do well.
Right.
And so they didn't go in with any pretense. They would say things like, oh, I know I'm going to be terrible at this. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And so I think the only difference is the perception of their ability to be able to multitask successfully.
Did anyone say when they received the text, Siri, respond to text?
No. In the experiments that we've done, we've just had people manually just using their and texting back.
All right. Because I confess, I've been, you know, I try not to, but I have been known to say send text to or send message to.
Right.
And then, you know, use the voice activated, which is helpful.
Right.
I'm also really, really curious, because a lot of us can say, oh, I would never consider texting, you know, but, oh, my Facebook thing just went off and I'll take a quick look at that.
Yeah.
Or now I've got to call the dry cleaners and damn it, what's their number? And fiddle. Did you try any other applications other than texting, phone calls, responding to alerts, anything like that?
We actually published a study that looked at people just having a phone conversation and the cognitive distraction, just being cognitively engaged.
Okay, so now we're talking about phone conversations in the car like we used to do old school in the 90s with our new little cell phones.
Yes.
When we say to ourselves, this helps to keep me awake.
Right.
You know, I'm driving across the state. I'm on the interstate. I need to talk to somebody.
Right.
And we're not doing anything else but talking. Okay.
And cognitive distraction is another form of distraction. Other people who have studied this have found that people who are cognitively engaged, as in a phone conversation, whether the phone is in their hand or whether they're talking to their Bluetooth apparatus, it's the distraction that's the problem. People who are cognitively engaged get tunnel vision. They lose the periphery. They can see anything that's directly in front of them, but they lose that periphery. And when you're driving, especially in Minnesota on the roadways, things come from the left and right all the time. So people are missing those things and having to maybe overcorrect or respond at the last minute to other stimuli in the environment. So it's not always just the hands being distracted or the hands off the wheel or your eyes off the road. It's cognitive distraction, too. I bet there's a lot of people out there who have had this experience where they're driving along. They're not texting. They're not talking. They're just driving along, and they just go blank, and they lose the last 5 minutes. They don't know how they got where they were. They know they've been driving, but all of a sudden they passed their exit or they missed where they were supposed to turn just because they were thinking they were
lost in
mind
thought.
Was someplace else. Yeah.
So here we've got, you know, so then old folks say, wait a minute now. You know, I used to listen to the radio or I had my 8 tracks,
sure.
Man.
Yeah, right, tapes.
I was the cassette generation, excuse me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I listening to music or I've been talking to people in the car, you know, oh, come on.
Well, that's true. But the difference between somebody in the car is that a lot of times the people you're having a conversation with in the car also have their eyes on the road. And so they're paying attention. They don't want anything to happen to the car either. So if something does come up, they'll yell. Somebody who's on the phone doesn't do that. They can't see the environment, so it's not an extra set of eyes on the road.
Right.
And getting back to the question you asked earlier, there are people that look at whether or not the Bluetooth setups and everything else also cause distractions. And what we tend to find is that there's a number of people who, even when they're using Siri, still have to press the button to be able to say Siri.
Right.
And
exactly.
They take their eyes off the road, and they're fumbling around. They drop the phone, or there's lots of other things they have to put in their earpiece or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of fumbling around, and that's that 2 seconds, that 3 seconds that your eyes are off the road while you're fumbling around is enough to get you into a predicament.
So I've always justified to myself phone conversations, cell phone conversations when I'm on my way to my folks in Western Minnesota,
sure.
Because I'm driving for 4 hours and I get tired, I get drowsy.
Absolutely.
So the phone conversation might be keeping me awake that might be a good thing, but it's still not. I'm just wondering, how are you supposed to drive if how can you keep that, you know, an appropriate level of attention, for example, for 4 hours straight?
Right. Well, you know, this is a really good question. And what I can say is you're potentially fixing one problem by creating another set of problems.
Right.
The problem is you're tired. You shouldn't be on the road anyway. Especially if it's the point where you're starting to nod off.
But what if driving just bores you?
Well, for some people,
have you ever done I-94 between Fargo and Bismarck?
Well, I've done 90 all the way to New York. right. Those long stretches are tough. You have to, what I would recommend in that case isn't to turn to the phone for relief, is to pull over, walk around, get up, have a Red Bull, have a coffee.
And of course, listening to KUMD, for example, where you have a variety of music. Now, if you're listening to the radio, you don't have, you know, something where it's just one song after another. If you right. have the radio so that you've got a mixture of, you know, there's music and maybe there's talk or there's something sure. to engage your brain.
Right.
Is that going to end up getting you so engrossed again in the programming that you're maybe distracted? Or can you hope that yeah. it might be something that'll just kind of keep you sharp and keep you going?
Well, you know, that's not to say that when you drive, you always have to have both hands on the wheel and you need to look forward and you need to sit up straight the entire time and you can't look left or right. That's not what driving is, right? Sometimes we need those things to keep us up and moving. But we have to make a conscious decision to do it safely. What we tend to see with the people that are on their phones, whether it's, again, Bluetooth or whether it's handheld on the while they're driving, is they can't maintain a consistent rate of speed. And so as you're driving to Michigan and you have somebody who's in the fast lane doing 50 in a 70 or 75 once
right.
you cross the Michigan border,
right. Okay.
That person
you look over.
Is engaged. They can't keep their mind on that many things.
Sure.
They can't keep their mind on the conversation and on the speedometer. And people get frustrated, especially in Michigan, some of the fastest drivers in the world, at least in the United States, in my experience. You don't want to be the person who's doing 65 in a 75 because that leads to other sets of problems. People road rage, people pass when they're not supposed to, and otherwise create other dangerous situations.
So basically, the conversation with your friend
yeah.
that you have in person is not the same conversation that you have with your friend on your cell phone while you're driving.
That's right.
Not even close.
Well, close is debatable, but...
But I mean, in terms of how it's going to affect, you know,
right.
I'm driving with my friend, and then I drop her off, and then I call her on the phone, and I finish the story I was telling, and
right.
those two situations are very different with regard to your driving ability.
That's what the research shows.
So, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like we've got new ways of distracting ourselves now that are really coming into prominence. They're becoming very obvious. But it sounds like all along we've perhaps adopted behaviors. You know, now they're talking about they had done the distracted driving thing down in the cities and
right.
people were eating and somebody was putting on makeup and, you know, all these other things that we've done
right.
before, you know, back in the day that apparently we're still doing.
You know, there's have been affiliated with the local TZD coordination, the Toward Zero Death Coordinators. And there are some great people doing some great work in the state of Minnesota to minimize the deaths on Minnesota roadways. And one of the things I heard at one of the past conferences was that local officers have pulled people over when they're eating cereal on their way to work in the morning, when they're playing...
With a bowl and a spoon
with
and
a bowl
milk.
And a spoon. they're shaving on their way to work, playing Candy Crush on their tablet.
No, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. So these are the types of things people do.
Look, I will sit in the parking lot and play Candy Crush, I admit it, but not
right.
while driving.
Not while driving. That's not one of those things that you should be doing.
Amazing.
And it's funny because even our the automobiles that we can buy today are loaded with technology, right? You have your Bluetooth, you have all your docking stations, you have your iPod docking stations, you have the onboard GPS navigator.
Right.
So you can, people are, as they're driving, are programming the coordinates for where they want to go. It's like, why didn't you just do that in the parking lot?
Yeah.
So we've got technology inside technology.
But, of course, back in the day, we were unfolding the map while we were driving.
Right, right.
Okay.
And it's a lot harder.
So...
And it's debatable which one is more difficult because your eyes are off the road, your hands are off the wheel. And if you're trying to successfully accomplish both of those things safely, there's nothing in the research that suggests that we'll be successful.
You know, if you listen to your internal monologue, you do hear yourself say a lot of times, well, I'm only just, or it's just, or I know I can.
Right.
Or I've always, or I've never. When... would folks have the next opportunity, maybe here on campus, to try that simulator? I'm thinking that people should try when
right.
you know should whenever and wherever they can, whether they can do
right.
a simulator online or whatever it might be, they should try as often as possible to actually try it out and prove to
yeah.
themselves, no, you know, you really can't do this.
Well, it's something that we set up on campus periodically. We were able to grab some people out in the hallways a couple weeks ago. And there was a group of people that were here for a tour because their kids might be coming to UMD next year.
Sure.
And we grabbed them and put them in, and they absolutely loved it because they wanted their kids to see, look, you're not that good at this.
Right.
And you shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
And the nice thing about our experiment is that you don't need a really expensive driving simulator to be able to recreate this. We used a PlayStation 3.
Okay.
There are a lot of people out there that have PlayStations. And we used a popular video game.
Okay.
And so if parents or if concerned brothers, sisters, cousins, neighbors wanted to do this.
Well, or you could go, I suppose you could go to an arcade and you could jump in a driving game.
You could.
And have somebody stand next to you texting you and just see how well you do. See how many tokens or quarters you start losing.
Yeah. And then compare it to when you're not distracted. One of the things that we found was when you use a driving simulator, it's not enough to throw technology out there. You have to have the proper protocol for the simulator. And so one of the things that we do in our lab is we test protocol for different simulators. And different simulators have different protocols. But one of the ones that we found to be very effective is to have people drive distracted and then have people drive the same track when they're not distracted. And they can see the difference immediately, what it's like to drive distracted and what it's like to drive not. And they can compare themselves to their own baseline.
Because I think if you actually were to have that experience, it would probably bring it home to you in a way that your mind couldn't rationalize as easy.
Yeah. And it's a lot better than a bunch of older people pointing a finger and saying, you shouldn't do that. Well, people know that they shouldn't do it.
Right.
That doesn't change that. And for some groups,
the shampoo bottles say lather, rinse, repeat. And sometimes we only do it once.
Right.
You know, because we're as human beings, we live on the edge. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we know when to break protocol.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Downs, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Edward Downs joined us this morning. He's got a fascinating experiment with a simple video game to help you measure how distracted you actually are behind the wheel with cell phone use. And I suppose you could eat a hamburger, a shave, or have a bowl of cereal to see how that would affect your driving. And he joined us as our guest this morning here on Northland Morning.